Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
Right, so we've been talking, of course, quite extensively about what is going on with the South African government, lost their way, doing incredibly, incredibly outrageous and damaging things, even appointing Rasool as the South African ambassador to the United States, deeply problematic. We spoke yesterday to Tony Leon, and he was very funny. He shared his thought that said, as a politician, as a diplomat, the rule of thumb is you think twice and then say nothing. And then that's pretty much what he did when I asked him if he was offered the role, if he would take it. He said a lot, but didn't say much, which, of course, that proves that he is perfect for the position. But I very much doubt they would choose somebody like him. Well, somebody that has been very, very vocal on this, we've spoken with him before. He has certainly added another dimension to the conversation is Joel Pollack. He's editor of Breitbart, and he joins us this morning, well, this evening for him. Joel, a very good morning or good evening. How are you?
Fine, thanks. How are you?
I am good, thank you. So, first of all, are you surprised that this Rasool debacle ended the way it did?
Not really. He is reflecting a point of view that is the prevailing orthodoxy on the far left of the political spectrum and on university campuses, both in South Africa and the United States. And mm-hmm. I think there's a lack of self-criticism, self-awareness within that particular bubble. So it was a matter of time, perhaps, before he laid his cards on the table, so to speak. But that's inevitable.
Well,
and
it is.
I think it's a sign that there's a prevailing wisdom that perhaps isn't so wise in certain circles that needed a bit of a shakeup.
The fact that he even said, I returned to South Africa with no regrets, you've really almost single-handedly destroyed a relationship that is absolutely vital to South Africa, and you could make such a glib, arrogant, adolescent comment, does make me worry about the broader acceptance of what he's done. What do you think the reaction would be amongst his party, privately? And it's speculation. It's not something, obviously, we know.
Well, first of all, I don't think he's destroyed a relationship between South Africa and the United States, because that relationship really depends on the South African people and the American people. Mm. And I actually think that if you get beyond the politicians and the opinion columnists and the people on social media, I think generally South Africans and Americans actually like each other quite a bit.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of cultural cross-pollination and mutual inspiration. So I actually think that the relationship has a very bright future, but there are certain things that have to be fixed that haven't been addressed in a while. You know, sometimes you get to a point in a relationship where someone's done some growth or perhaps regressed into some bad habits, and you need to have an intervention. And I would describe this as that kind of episode, and hopefully everybody comes out the other side having learned something and made a commitment to a better future.
There is, of course, a great value, whether we agree with it or not, in differing views. And South Africa, of course, is fully entitled, as is the United States, to have very, very different political views. The challenge is retaining that in a environment of respect. What do you think South Africa has to do now in order to get to a place where they can achieve that?
It's really about making compromises to begin a discussion about how to build a stronger relationship. You have to show you're willing to compromise. And it's clear that South Africa has gone down a path that is bad for South Africa and bad for the relationship. The Expropriation Act, which President Donald Trump reacted to, is really bad for investment in South Africa. It's also bad for foreign investors, and it's something that has many Americans very concerned. It doesn't just reflect the vulnerability of South African farmers, but also the vulnerability of South Africans in general. And when you talk about foreign investment in South Africa, Americans and other investors don't want to come into a country where they don't feel secure, first of all, from crime, but secondly, from laws and regulations that require them to give up some of their equity right away. It's a form of expropriation as a price of entry to the market. And so it's something Americans would like to see South Africans stop doing to them and perhaps to each other. Then you have these foreign policy positions that South Africa's taken that have puzzled Americans on the left and the right, whether siding with Russia during the invasion of Ukraine or siding with China. And frankly, the most dramatic example was siding with Hamas at the International Court of Justice. Because if you're arguing that Israel doesn't have a right to defend itself, which is exactly what the South African delegation argued, then you're arguing that Hamas should be allowed to kill innocent people at will. And that's unpalatable to Americans. Americans watched the horrific terror attack of October 7th and came away from that experience reminded of our bond with Israel. And Israel is a cohesive society. It's not going to go away. The ANC and others on the left in South Africa seem to believe that what happened in South Africa, that is the sort of collapse of a regime, the loss of self-confidence, the entry into negotiations, and finally the arrival of a unitary state, that that's necessarily the pattern that has to be followed in Israel. And that's not at all the case. And in fact, it draws the wrong lessons from history, because the Soviet Union and the alliance of the liberation movement with the Soviet Union probably delayed the end of apartheid by 10 to 15 years. It might have come earlier because there was a gnawing desire for change in South Africa in the mid-1970s, obviously the late 1970s, early 80s. But the nations of the democratic West gave grudging support to the apartheid regime because they were opposing the communists. They did not want to abandon at least a pro-Western ally against a Soviet-backed militia. And so had the ANC not aligned with the Soviet Union, perhaps apartheid would have ended sooner. But the lesson instead that has been drawn, I think, by the new elite in South Africa is that by pressing your struggle, by sticking to violence, by adopting a kind of Stalinist opposition to everything the democratic West stands for, you eventually come out ahead. And that's really a misreading of South African history and how the liberation struggle finally succeeded by suspending the armed struggle and by having negotiations. And that's perhaps a better set of lessons to apply to the Middle East, although it is a different situation. The Middle East conflict is not going to be resolved through the same methods that resolved the South African conflict, nor will it be resolved through the same methods that Northern Ireland resolved its conflict. It's really about a negotiation to separate two nations, and the terms of that separation have never been accepted by one of the two sides. Now, the manifestation of that rejection has become brutal and violent and nihilistic and unacceptable to civilized people. And South Africa finds itself as the last real partner of an increasingly desperate and self-destructive movement. The rest of the region has moved on. The Emiratis, the Saudis, even now the Lebanese are sitting down with the Israelis, and South Africa risks holding the bag after the people it says it's fighting for have already made peace. So South Africa really needs to use this moment to examine its policies, come to the table with compromises that are not just good for the United States and American foreign policy, but also ultimately good for South Africa.
In a way, it's South Africa's become a complete anachronism, and that's exactly what it is, because they're going back to this romanticized view of socialism and communism, which in fact has been a failure pretty much everywhere, and these are the values that they're holding on to. Before I let you go, the choice of South African ambassador now to the United States, how key is that in the messaging and signaling to the United States?
I think there's a misconception in South Africa that the problem is the messaging. The problem is the policy.
Interesting.
And you cannot fix the messaging without fixing the policy. So whoever the ambassador is has to come to the table with concrete compromises, and then you can begin a discussion. It's not about the right character, the right credentials, the right personality, the right hairdo. It has nothing to do with that. It is about substance.
That is where we leave it. Joel Ponick, thank you as always. Lots of food for thought there, because certainly for me, perhaps I was looking at it around the messaging, but it's right. If a company is not doing a great job, the marketing, which that this is actually irrelevant. Fix the problem, and then the marketing fixes itself. What do you think on 061-895-1019? That was Joel Ponick talking to us. He's the editor of Breitbart in the United States. Good morning.